Hello, Avalanche fans, and welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. This is your home for almost everything Avalanche, and I'm your host, Jay Veen. In this show, my podcast partner, James Tape Blake Grayling, and I talk about who the Avalanche's number one goaltender should be right now, why Avalanche fans should be happy that Paul Stastny is not Montreal's Scott Gomez. We make our predictions as far as what the Avalanche did during the All-Star break. We talk about how creepy Pierre McGuire can be, and there's also another installation of Peter McNabb's That's What She Says. Those topics and a whole lot more Avalanche stuff coming at you in episode number 70 of the Avs Hockey Podcast. Stick around. James and I will be right back. Hello, Avalanche fans, and welcome back to the Avs Hockey Podcast. This is your home for almost everything Avalanche, and I'm your host, Jay Veen, joined, as always, by my man from the Rink Podcast, James Tapeleg Grayling. James, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. You know, hockey is not played before 9 a.m. or, you know, before 10 a.m., and there's a good reason for that.
Unless morning you're, skate. You know. Morning skate. Early morning skate, sir. No, I appreciate you getting up.
I don't know why you do this to me, but I'm in. I'm in.
Wow. And on that note, we'll just keep going. How's that?
I think I said it. Did I say it last time? There's a bus leaving at 10 a.m. Be under it.
That's right.
I just threw you right under the bus.
That's fine. I'm used to it. I'm kind of hanging out underneath there lately. Feels like it as an Avalanche fan, but we'll get into all those details. But this is episode number 70 of the Avs Hockey Podcast, your home for almost everything Avalanche, the Peter Delmas 2008-2009 game issue jersey edition of the show. We're getting into the numbers where you have to dig kind of deep, and that's what she said. And this is one of those times. So Peter Delmas, the second round pick of the Avalanche a while back, and now he's with the Canadiens because they stole all the Avalanche goalies, and that's about it. So photo would be courtesy of mygray.com on the post, and let's move on. So the record since our last show on January 8th for the Avalanche is 3 wins, 7 losses, and 2 overtime losses. Yeah, you can say that again. Things aren't looking real good right now.
No, and last show was the optimism show. And the show before that was the pessimism show. And I don't know what this one's going to be. Maybe the realism show.
Yeah, it could be everything's starting to hit us in the forehead show. Avs making their move show. We could call it that, I guess. The Avalanche are now 2-12-1 within the division for the entire season. They've lost 5 straight 1-goal games. And I think this is correct, James. I'm not sure. But I believe they lead the league in 1-goal victories as well. So a lot of tight hockey being played out there, but the Avalanche on the wrong end of those games lately for sure.
Yeah.
A lot to talk about since our last show. One was big about a week after our last show on January 16th. Semyon Varlamov, as the Avalanche gets smashed in Phoenix 6-1, he refuses to talk to the press. And this had a lot of people not necessarily stirred up. This is a perfect thing for the press to cover because it's good for the attention. But James, do you think after, I don't know, we can discuss this at least for a little bit. After a game like that, does the goaltender have a responsibility to talk to the press?
No. Yes and no. We're getting one side of this. This was reported by Mike Chambers, who was there and who wanted to talk to Varlamov. And Mike Chambers was the one who said, hey, he doesn't want to talk to me. And we never really got Varlamov's side of things. It's kind of like when there's a bad call by a ref in a game and everybody complains about the ref, and yet the ref doesn't necessarily get the opportunity or doesn't defend himself. We're just getting one side of it, really. But I could see why, after getting shellacked, not getting pulled, the situation that he's been in and for so long, I wouldn't want to talk to the press. I wouldn't want to talk to anybody. I'd want to go either sulk or try and get my head right. Maybe he was even in a spot where if he were to talk to the press, what would come out wouldn't be very appetizing.
That's true. Okay. So my question, and I'm not trying to argue or anything, it's just things that I think about.
Totally. Argue away. It'd be fun.
Well, I mean, it doesn't do any good because I agree with your one side of the story. And I'm sure Chambers really liked this because it is a story. And stories are good, especially, I mean, if the team gets beat 6-1, what is there to say? So he's got something to write about, and that's good for him at least. But my question in my head is, would Jiggy do the same thing? And I don't think he would have.
Mike Chambers basically said that Jiggy A, talked to him, and B, probably wouldn't do the same thing. Right. Here's what I will say though. You've been reading the Denver Post, and you've seen the blog,
sure,
the All Things Avs blog, and all the things that get written. Right now, deservedly or not, Varlamov is the whipping boy. He's the goaltender that the Avs paid too much for, that isn't performing, that's losing his starting job, has to be better, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And if somebody were to, maybe this is just me in my position where I'm not a hockey player, where I haven't been either a target of the press, where Varlamov's been a target of the press in DC, if I were in that position, I wouldn't want to talk to these guys either. I'm getting beaten up. Why am I going to go walk into the fire? So if I were to get shellacked like that, if I were to have just an awful night and then have to go answer to the guys who are beating the crap out of me in the press, well, I may not want to. And even if he deserves to, even if he should have stepped up and just gone and talked to him, in a moment where, hey, you know what? I really don't want to talk about that game. He didn't. And I think he should get a pass at least a couple of times. I think there should be times when, hey, you know what? Now's not the time. Don't poke the bear. I'm thinking about recently there was a John Tortorella post-game presser. And of course it's John Tortorella, where he just walked in, said, hey, you know what? I don't exactly know what happened either. It was pretty bad. And I'm not going to do an interview right now. Or there was even more recently, I think it was the game right before the All-Star break when the Red Wings lost to the Montreal Canadiens 8-2. And I'm telling you right now, that feels good to say out loud.
I'm going to go drink beer. Isn't that what?
Yeah. Mike Babcock, post-game presser. What are you going to, I don't know. I'm going to go have a beer. Hey, you know what? Good for him. Good for him. I guess what is there to say,
Yeah, I guess the coaches get used to that, because the coaches pretty much, unless you're Tortorella, who has that, who has their reputation, they have to go in front of the press and they have to represent their team. But that's what coaches do. And I think, they're always expected to. And those meltdowns, if there are any after games like that, are always well documented. I just thought it was interesting. I can definitely see both sides. But then we'll go back to kind of what you brought up as well. Who you said Varlamov losing his number one a spot, to that respect, who is the Avalanche's number one right now?
It's got to be right now. It's got to be Jaguar. He's the one who's playing, who's playing the occasionally lights out hockey, even though things do happen. The loss to Vancouver is a great example. And we'll talk about that, but it's got to be Jaguar. Is there any reason it shouldn't be, I guess is my question to you.
No, the team, for whatever reason, and I don't know what it is, and I've said it on Twitter, the team plays a better brand of hockey in front of Jaguar. I don't know why. I can't explain it. But if we were to say, I don't know, digitize, if I was going to go back and watch some games and I was going to go back and see, and you could digitize out the goalie or whatever, I could tell you. I think I really could. I could tell you who the goalie is right now for the Avalanche based on how the team is playing, based on how rebounds are going. I don't know what it is, and that makes it easier for Varlamov to be the whooping boy. Because when things aren't going well, you have to blame somebody. You have to blame either Sacco, Paul Stastny is a good one. We'll get to him in a little while again, or a goaltender of some kind. Mm-hmm. Because those are the guys that are going to be out there the most. It's kind of a live and die situation.
Do you feel like Varlamov isn't getting the goal support because maybe the forwards are now trying to defend more and clean up for other mistakes? Is it just that they're not used to his style? Is there any? I understand maybe it's a little a little unconscious what you're talking about, but is there anything that you feel like you could put a finger on and say, yeah, I'm seeing this thing happen?
I think the big thing would be rebound control. And was it Taylor Hall's goal a couple of games ago against Edmonton? where it's just, and Rycroft talked about it after the show, just this big fat juicy rebound right onto Hall's stick, and they it was almost described as a soft goal after a rebound. So some of that has to do with the defense, but I really can't put my finger on it. It's a chemistry thing. And as far as goal support, I think Jiggy, let's see, I want to say he's 8-5 or 8-6 in his last 14 games with the Avalanche. And I think in those six losses, the Avalanche have scored, let's see, they scored two yesterday. So in those six losses, he's given up 7 goals total or something like that. The Avalanche have scored 7 goals total mm-hmm. in his support. So he's not even getting goal support, but the Avalanche still seem to play, you know, pretty well. I think it's a subconscious thing. It's a psychological thing. And I think every team deals with it as far as do you really believe in your goaltender? And for Avalanche fans, for so long, we've seen, especially with Budaj and how Brian Elliott played last season, you just see it over and over and over. And then when you see a team play well and they know they don't have to work extra hard to make big things happen, they feel comfortable. And the Avalanche just look a little more comfortable in front of Jaguar than they do in front of Varlamov right now. And I don't know how you would necessarily turn that around. But that's what I see.
You know what this reminds me a lot of is a couple of years ago when Peter Budaj stepped up and took away the job from deservedly from Jose Theodor. And Theodor was the big money goalie and the guy that they traded for. And sure, you know, and Budaj did the job. And eventually Theodor came back, but it certainly wasn't that season. And it was always assumed that Varlamov would be the number one goalie because of the high price, because of the slightly longer contract. But you and I discussed it when Jaguar first got signed. This is great. This is cool. I'm really excited to see how he does. And much like Tim Thomas with Tim Thomas's hip surgery that gave him the comeback, here's Jaguar stepping up and doing his thing. And this is great. But it's not so great when you're expecting a little bit more from your what's supposed to be number one goalie.
Yeah, your 23-year-old that you gave up a first-round draft pick for, rather than sign as a free agent like they did with Jaguar. So,
yeah,
I don't know. Exactly. It's a developing story. I really wouldn't be surprised to see Jaguar start on Tuesday against the Blackhawks. It used to be, you know, you lose, Varlamov or Jiggy goes in. It just switch off. But pretty much all season, it's been a big deal who's going to start in goal, and that's why I'm always on Twitter and on Facebook trying to keep people up to date. So,
yeah,
I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how things kind of work themselves out within. But it's sad to see that Varlamov hasn't been quite what they've given up. But he's 23 years old; he still has some time. But it's also very exciting to see Jaguar play as well as he has. And it's tough to, you're obviously not going to root against an Avalanche guy. But it's really cool to see how well he's done and how much the guys respect him. And for a guy that's been in the league as long as he has, to still be very, very solid in net.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they don't have a lot of...
I was worried at first that they were going to ride him too hard, that the back-to-back... He had back-to-back starts, L.A., then Anaheim, and then the next game in Minneapolis. And I was thinking, man, is this really how you want to ride Jaguar right now? But there isn't a lot of choice, and he seems to be relishing in the moment right now. So what the heck? Why not?
I mean, keep it going for as long as he can. And he, like I said, he's tough to root against. He seems like a great guy, and the guys make it very clear that they respect him. And he's a great presence, and you can see that with everything that he does. Even when he's, you know, when he gets scored on, he wears his emotions on his sleeve, but not in like a theatrical way. He does it for all the right reasons. When people mess with him and grab his stick, like there was guys grabbing his stick yesterday, and he doesn't like that. And he makes it clear that he doesn't like that. And I think his team likes to see that too. So we'll see the number one is, and we'll just keep going. So, let's see. In other news, Brandon Yip was placed on waivers on January 18th. David,
thank goodness. God, there was nothing more than was going to turn around this team than to finally put Brandon Yip on waivers. Woohoo. If only they had done this earlier and we could all be. This is sarcasm, by the way.
Sarcasm font. I like it.
The only thing that actually upsets me about the Brandon Yip thing, and I'm not upset to see Brandon Yip go. Things had to be done, but this so far is the most this is the gutsiest thing that the Avs have done this season, last season. You know, they're trying to right the ship slightly. At least they were doing something, but this is it. This is all they've done at this point.
Yeah, it was, how often do the Avalanche put anybody on waivers unless it's, I don't know, most of their guys they just send back down and that's how it works. But with Yip and how old he was, that was their only option. I distinctly remember you being, using your sarcasm font on Twitter and saying, wow, this is, I guess I don't know if you can even call it a bold move, but it's so nothing that the Avalanche ever do that, I don't know. It was kind of surprising. The Predators pick him up the next day on waivers and he'll be scoring goals against the Avalanche in no time. So, you know, the young kid that everybody was really excited about has a couple injuries and there goes his career with the Avalanche. So, Brandon Yip, bold move.
It's the Avalanche injury cycle right now. It, you know, play well, get injured, come back, be less. Yep. And that's, you know, we saw that with Stewart. We saw that with Anderson. We've seen that, you know, that seems to be the cycle with Jones about every 3 weeks or something like that. You know, it get injured, come back, be less. That seems like the model right now.
Good point, except for one exception, at least for his first few games back, and that was Peter Mueller. Peter Mueller returns to the Avalanche against the Panthers on January 19th after 40-whatever games out, has two goals and assists against – well, he didn't come back that game. I think it was the game before. But makes immediate impact. Everybody gets really excited about it. He was out yesterday. I hadn't been on Twitter. I learned later that he had the flu. So most likely he'll be back, and he'll replace probably like a Kevin Porter or a Chuck Kobusu. But Peter
Hopefully
Mueller
he doesn't sneeze and give himself a concussion. You know, I hope it's not a head cold.
That'd be sad. That'd be very sad. But not surprising at all. so he's had immediate impact. It's been good to have a little more of a scoring presence up front with a top six forward. And hopefully he stays healthy. It's a really good kind of feel-good story to see him do so well. And when he scored that first goal, you could see the relief on his face. And I know Peter McNabb keeps raving about how hard he has worked in his, you know, fight to get back into the game. And so that's good for number 88, and we're happy for him, and hopefully he'll stay healthy for a very long time because the Avalanche need him up front, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's get back to more Paul Stastny. Like I mentioned earlier, whenever the Avalanche lose more than one or two games in a row and Stastny's not much of a factor, his name starts to come up, little whispers here and there, especially from Adrian Dater about how he's not producing. And you know, if it was up to Dater, I'd like to kind of ask him, and I'm not going to get all controversial because I know how well that goes for me, but how many points would Paul Stastny need to have right now in order for you to kind of leave him alone? Because right now I think if he's not at anywhere near a point a game, it's an absolute flop, and Paul Stastny is a waste of an Avalanche jersey. But I mean, Stastny was outstanding yesterday afternoon against the Canucks. It was one of the best games I've seen him play in a while. His little saucer pass to David Jones for David Jones's power play goal in the first period was absolutely unbelievable. I watched it a few times, and I think he put enough air underneath it to get it over the defender's stick, and it basically landed right on David Jones's stick, and that was just easy for Jones because of the work that Stastny did. You had some feedback on Tape Legs Take, which is something new on Twitter, which you can describe a little bit as well, about Paul Stastny. I thought it would be worth bringing up a couple, because everybody knows my crush on Stastny. What's your take on Stastny, Tape Legs Take?
My take is that, you know, if it weren't for the money, how would people feel about Paul Stastny?
Yep.
And it's not like he's eating up a lot of cap space that the Avs are going to suddenly spend because they're making a big playoff run or for any reason. He's an expensive player, but there's so much cap space right now. Thank goodness there's an expensive player that the Avs have to get the Avs to the cap floor. But he's not going to go anywhere. He's not going to get traded. Even if he's underproducing at that dollar amount, but before that, who cares? He's actually not. He's number two on points in the team. He's not doing a point a game, but nobody on this team is at a point a game Ryan O'Reilly has the most points, and that's 38 points in 53 games. That's not nearly what a superstar would have, and yet everybody falls all over Ryan O'Reilly. Paul Stastny, 32 points in 51 games. It's not great, but it's fine. It could be much worse. But you can't, if you are expecting to love or hate a guy because of the dollar amount that he makes, then you're going to be sadly disappointed almost all the time. You almost never get exactly what you paid for. And look at the other high-priced players out there. I think it was like the top, in the top 10 paid players in the league, only two were at the All-Star game. That's insane. Noah Ovechkin, of course, he was suspended / chose not to show up, but right. Brizgalov, nope. Kovalchuk, nope. What can you say about that? Money does not equal everything. And if away the money, are you going to love him or are you going to hate him? That's where I think that we as Avs fans should take a step back and see what we think.
Well, that's why I dislike probably the closest guy in the media that's tied to the team that we can all connect to on Twitter, Dater. Why does he keep bringing it up? And but again, it's kind of like a Mike Chambers thing, and they have a job to do, and it's easy to keep going back to it. But as I said in the last show, does Stastny's agent, you know, when they start talking about contract things, does he just say, well, here's the stats and here's how many points per game, and then that's it? I mean, Paul Stastny brings so much more to the table, and it's just ignored because it's easier to do that as I guess a media member than anything else. I don't know. I really enjoy the way the guy plays, and you know, all the other stuff as far as like what you said, as far as who's getting paid what, he's, as I said in a tweet on January 25th, when we were both kind of going back and forth on this, he's not Scott Gomez. Scott Gomez, I think, has gone a calendar year now, and he has not scored a goal, and he's making a little over.
It's easy to find out because we can look at didgomezscore.com. Didgomezscore.com is a countdown or is a count up as to how long it's been since Scott Gomez scored his last goal. And right now it stands at 364 days, 17 hours, 58 minutes and 16 seconds as we're recording this right now. Since Scott Gomez's last goal, he makes, I believe it's $7.5 million and has no movement clause.
Yes. And there you go. And I think he has six or seven assists or some crazy small number. So the thing that I said in my tweet, for those of you that hate Paul Stastny and think he should be traded, be very thankful that he's not Scott Gomez. You can't move Scott Gomez. You couldn't move Gomez if you tried. Paul Stastny, you can move. I mean, they're not going to. I totally agree with what you're saying. But you can move Paul Stastny, but not only because of, I don't know, he doesn't have the stats to move and they don't match his salary. Big deal, whatever. But you're not going to, he's got something. He can kill penalties. He's a smart player. He's not a guy that you see very often when he makes a play, like I said in the last show as well. Oh, yeah. What was he thinking there? He doesn't make those moves. He might have a turnover here and there. He might have to take a penalty here and there. But if you keep watching him, I mean, he's got hockey smarts that you can't teach. And that's he's a second round pick just like Ryan O'Reilly. You know, so you can scold him for not living up to his contract, or you can give him all kinds of credit for being a second round pick. And it's not very often that second round picks make NHL rosters, and both Stastny and O'Reilly made their rosters as second round picks, and that's a big deal. So, I mean, we keep going back to it.
Puck Daddy had a post yesterday about Olli Jokinen and the fact that he hadn't scored a goal since December 23rd. And he finally scores a goal, and basically the way he said was, "Well, I had a Big Mac before the game. He had junk food." And my comment on Puck Daddy was, "Maybe it's time for Scott Gomez to buy a Burger King franchise and eat the whole thing." If we're going to do this on the fast food index, I think that at this point, all Paul Stastny really needs is like a foot long Subway or sandwich or something.
Yeah,
like that.
And maybe a $2.06 when the Avalanche win. All right,
he's fine. He's fine.
And the thing is, he gives Dater and everybody else who likes to fuel this rumor and whatever they want to call it, he gives them just enough to keep talking about it. What is there to be said? Like, can the media in Montreal tear up Scott Gomez any more than they already are? I mean, basically the last thing that you have to do is create a site that has the count up that shows that he almost has a calendar year between goals. So And I saw you added that to our Google Doc. If you look two things down from that, I got it too. So we're always on the same page. See how that works? So did GomezScore.com. We'll put a little post to that and just be Avalanche fans, anybody else who's thinking about that, just be glad he's not Scott Gomez. All right. Just be glad Stastny is not Scott Gomez. All right. So, James, did you get a chance to watch any of the Avalanche stuff or any of the All-Star stuff?
I did. I only watched like about a period of the game. I unfortunately was working during almost all of it, and I am really okay with that. I'm just not as amped up for the All-Star game as a lot of people are. It just doesn't really hit my radar very much.
Yeah, I watched it, and it was okay. I wouldn't have been. Hey, do you think if an Avalanche player or players were playing in it, you would have been a little more excited about it or not? I'm just asking.
Probably not. I wasn't super excited about it last year when Duchesne was in it.
Yeah,
vodka. I mean, it's a fun event, and it's a great commercial for the league when stars show up. Unlike, you know, I mean, Lidstrom decided not to go. Solani decided not to go. Yeah. And on, it just kind of went down. I loved. I saw a little bit of the videos of it. I watched. I loved Scott Hartnell chirping at Dion Phaneuf. But overall,
between 24/7 and Hartnell being mic'd up for the All-Star festivities, I've become a fan of his. I mean, not a huge fan, but I definitely have. I didn't necessarily hate him, but I didn't necessarily care for him either. But
so you can kind of see beyond the what you see on the ice, and when you can actually see the person.
Yeah, you can see beyond the hair. Yeah, it's just this big flowing mass of, you know, as Buchagras would say, he's got this big salad on his head. But yeah, I like Hartnell. I think he's funny. He's got some personality. He's good for the game. They definitely chose wisely when they gave him a microphone. But sorry, the shootout challenge, I was able to watch that. I don't know how many of you guys out there were able to watch it too, but it's too much. I'd rather watch these guys' skills. It's like the NBA slam dunk championship where I know the guys can dunk and we don't necessarily need to pour it on. And that's when Patrick Kane comes out and he has Hossa come out and put the cape on him, and then he has the puck that blows up, and it's okay, but I think they can get rid of that. And but what do you think about next year, James, as far as like in Columbus? How many Columbus Blue Jackets are going to be playing in the game? And how happy is the NHL going to be about that?
None of the goaltenders will, I bet, unless it's somebody new.
That's true.
That's one of the things that I always get tired of is the, and I don't mean to sound like, ooh, I'm above it all and everything, but I get tired of the fan voting because it's just another thing for people to complain about. At some point, fans vote in the starters and all of that, and for a few people, it's a source of pride, and for the fans of 29 other teams, it's hand-wringing, and these people got snubbed. Oh, it's so tiring. I don't care about fan voting. If you're going to have all-stars, make them all-stars. Don't put in, you know, your first two lines of the home team and call it a day. It's just, I'm surprised that Craig Anderson wasn't an all-star because of fan voting.
Yeah, I agree. It's going to be interesting next year. Obviously, Rick Nash will be in. I got that. That's fine with me.
Oh, yeah, Rick Nash will be in next year, but he wasn't in this year.
Yeah, I know. I noticed that.
He's the big
franchise
stud. He wasn't in there. Was Shane Doan in this year? I don't even remember. No, I don't think he was.
No, he wasn't. Yeah. There was a fair amount of teams that weren't represented because there's like five or six Ottawa players. Now we go back to like 2001 in Denver. You've got a ton of Avalanche players, but these are like Hall of Fame caliber players. You know, you got Rob Blake, Ray Bourque, Patrick Waugh, Milan Hayduk, Peter Forsberg, Joe Sakic. I mean, these are serious names in the history of hockey. And I'm just really curious how things are going to go as far as the voting next year and see how much the Columbus fans step up. But who wants to watch? I don't know who else would play for
RJ Umberger, the all-star, or
yes.
Carter, the all-star.
Oh,
yeah,
goody.
No, it doesn't.
It's, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm really curious to see how things go next year. And then the other thing that really bothered me was Pierre Maguire. I used to not care about Pierre Maguire that much, but the more I hear from him, because he never is quiet, the more, like at the end of his interview, like he interviewed Marian Gaborik after he won the MVP, and he said he always has a nice little clean little sign off for him. You know, it's like, hey, keep up the good work, whatever. He tells Gabrick that I love your smile. And I just kind of got creeped out. I'm like, what? I love your smile. What does that have to do with anything? And then
there was some talk kicking around that maybe Pierre Maguire was going to be considered for the Montreal Canadiens GM job.
Right.
And my comment was that the only bad part about that is that we're going to have to start caring about what he says.
Or somebody is, yeah. At least there are.
Pierre Maguire, like, I hate to say it. I mean, I don't like to bash anybody, but he's clown shoes at this point. He was clown shoes at the 2006 Olympics when he was interviewing players, and half the time they were just like, "What is wrong with you, dude?" And it's been, thank goodness for the only good thing that Pierre Maguire does is he tells you exactly where every single player is from. He's like an encyclopedia of where's this guy from and where's that guy from. My goodness, we're done. We get it. We don't care. You have an encyclopedic knowledge of it. We understand that you know where everybody went to college. That would make you a great scout. So
got
get
it.
Off the TV.
Got it. Was he doing college? I think he was doing college games or something the other day. So somebody had commented that he was going to mention where everybody was conceived, you know, because that's the kind of stuff that he knows. I like
born,
him because
born
he,
at the born in the Kelowna General Hospital,
exactly, or before, like in the back seat. His is where it all started, and you know, it's just I know it's awkward, and the way you're feeling
you
now is the way
creepy. That's pretty creepy.
Hey, he's a creepster, so I don't know. I've got a YouTube video that I can post to that's just he kind of creeps me out, and then people don't like Doc Emmerich, and they're all working together. The one thing that I like about Doc Emmerich is he knows when to be quiet. What happened? I think it was when Alfredson scored and the fans are going crazy for him. Just be quiet. And that's what he does. And I like that. Pierre Maguire does not have that in his arsenal. So yeah, I don't know. What else you got there, Mr. Tape Leg? You want to talk Sam Gagner for a second?
Oh man.
What hot? There's hot and then there's Gagner. I mean, basically what you can say is he's created a new adjective for players that play well. So mm-hmm. He's been a part of the Avalanches. I wish the Oilers last 11 goals. That's sick.
Yeah, that was a 8-point night for him the other night. And, you know, thank goodness that didn't come against the Avalanche. It came against the Blackhawks.
Oh, God.
what a night. It turns out that so there was some other speculation. Well, who's had those kinds of big nights? In the Avalanche organization, with the Nordiques, both Peter and Anton Stastny have both had an eight point night. But the big deal is that they both had 8 points in the same game.
That's crazy.
Two guys, 16 points in the same game.
That's called sharing and scoring the hockey puck. That's what they do.
Yep. But for them, it doesn't stop there. For the most points in two consecutive games by any player, Peter and Anton Stastny, both in February of 1981, had 14 points across two games.
Two games, 14 points.
Yeah, it's two games, 14 points each.
That's nuts. That's nuts. Yeah. That's way better than any Sedin bot would ever do.
That blows the Gagliardis right out of the water.
Nice. Well done. Yeah.
And that comes from Elliot Friedman of Hockey Night in Canada via, of course, the great, powerful Puck Daddy.
That's cool. But congratulations to Sam Gagner. I mean, whenever you pass, like I think he tied Wayne Gretzky for the 8 points in a single game. But then
and Paul Coffey.
Oh, that they like to share and score the hockey puck as well. But then I think he broke Gretzky's record in the fact that he was a part of 11 straight Oiler goals, and Gretzky only had 10. Yeah, Gretzky had 10. What a slacker.
But what a that's loser.
There's hot, and then there's passing Wayne Gretzky and anything hot, and that's where Sam Gagner is. So thank you, hockey gods, for not having that, like you said, James, not having that any of that happen against the Avalanche, because that would be very, very sad. What else do we have here? We've got a couple Twitter things that we like to share with you, James. What did the Avalanche do during the All-Star break?
They did a lot of they did a lot of sitting around. we uh you know how Twitter is. We get something stuck in our head, and all of a sudden it's time to break out a meme or just like go on a rant for a little bit. And I had a little bit of a rant about since only one Avalanche player, Landeskog, was at the All-Star game. What did the rest of the Avs do during the All-Star break? And let's see, Cody McLeod decided to punch things that were soft instead of the usual faces and helmets. Jan Hayda called up his old friends in Columbus. They weren't doing anything either.
At least for this season.
Nope.
I said that David...
Jay McClellan... Huh?
No, go ahead.
Oh, Jay McClellan went to Blackhawk for some gambling. He did fine at blackjack, but struggled with the slots. Weak in the slot.
And then he scores. Like, we talk stuff about Jay McClellan and David Jones, and then they score. But, hey, we'll take whatever we can get.
Daniel Winnick practiced closing his mouth. After little success, he called Tyler Arneson for tips, but got none.
Boom. Mouth breather. Well done. I said Peter Mueller wore his helmet all break long. Let's see what else. Gabriel Landeskog was just himself because he's just awesome. If I could find something bad about that kid's game, I'd say it. I can't. I mean, people forget that he's 19 freaking years old. The kid can flat play. So that was easy. Let's see what else. We had to. Oh, Peter McNabb studied and listened to McNabb's That's What She Says, his Zen master, Pierre McGuire, all weekend long. So those two could have plenty to talk about. Joe Sacco scratched Matt Hunwick for the entire break. Yeah. Yeah, that was fun. So I appreciate the Twitter inspiration. That was good, James. So congratulations with that. You can put that on your Twitter resume.
Yeah, that'll get that and $2 will get me a cup of coffee, I believe.
Maybe. It depends on where you go to get that coffee.
Not here in Minnesota. I'll tell you, $2.35 for medium coffee at Dunn Brothers. I love their coffee, but come on.
Go to McDonald's. McDonald's has pretty good coffee. All right. McNabb's That's What She Says since our last show. I got plenty of those. Cody McLeod. Oh, well, anyways, for those of you that don't get to listen to the Avalanche feed, maybe I don't make this clear enough at times. Peter McNabb is the color guy for the Avalanche on television. So if you get the away feeds all the time, you won't get this. But if you follow us on Twitter, James is Tape Leg. I am Avs Hockey Podcast, AVSHKY Podcast. After games, no matter how well or how crappily the Avalanche play, I can always post some McNabb's That's What She Says in relation to the office little. Those of you that get it. So here's a few. Cody McLeod just whacking away. Let's see. McNabb describing a goal. Jaguar couldn't quite get his hand on it, and Avalanche players were trying to push it in. Also describing a goal. There was something funny about how it went in. Stefan Elliott was really bent over. Steve Ott, one of those guys, he'll poke around. Shots from the point. If you happen to get it through, it's like winning the lottery. These are great. Jordan Eberle, he was talking about Jordan Eberle's trip to the All-Star game. This is Eberle talking. You know what the coolest part was? Some of the guys wanted my stick. Canucks pace during the play yesterday. They slow things down and then they speed them up. But it does seem that McNabb's That's What She Says most classic moments come with high stick penalties. Jay McClement took a high stick during the Panthers game, and McNabb said you got to be in control of your stick. And then one more describing another high stick. It's one of those inadvertent ones, but it just pops up.
Oh,
yeah.
Not as bad as John Van Beesbrook during a game.
Did you say he was trying? Like, I haven't seen that video or anything. He was.
He had to be trying. And actually, yeah. when I finally met him, he was around his family, so I couldn't ask him about it. But I wish I had. My favorite, I think, was they can't penetrate Budai. Oh God! Why?
The thing that I notice is that if you leave out if you use certain pronouns instead of say the puck or the stick, it doesn't lend itself to That's What She Says. But McNabb uses pronouns just enough to make it sound really, really dirty. So we'll keep track of those, and it's actually kind of a fun game because even when the Avalanche play badly, it's always the game within the game that keeps us teenage minds entertained. So there it is there. James, is there anything else you want to cover? I have a couple shout outs if we can get to those before.
Just You know, I mean, we're kind of wrapping up here, sure. But I'm sorry, you know, I mentioned early in the show, you know, last show was the optimism show. The show before that was the pessimism show. You know, it's like half glass empty, half glass full. Is this show kind of is there even a glass? Is this, what are we calling this one?
Somebody stole the glass and smashed it against the wall.
It's almost like somebody just keeps moving the glass a little further out of reach. And every time you reach for it, they just move it a little more. What? You want a drink? Oh, you want a drink? Oh, yeah. You want some of this? Oh, you want that? No.
Oh, it looks delicious. It's cold and I have cookies. I don't know. I'm starting to accept the fact that the Avalanche really aren't going to be in it unless they, I don't know. It comes down to, and it's kind of frustrating, Scott Pantol on Twitter, hi Scott, has said this lately. He's like, I can't be really upset with how the Avalanche have played lately, but they're losing. And then it comes down to the small things. And my thing always has been, you know, as I coach and things like that, when I'm coaching kids, if you don't play well enough to where one or two plays kill you, you haven't played well enough to win. And that's kind of what's happening, is that the Avalanche should have scored probably 4 or 5 goals against Roberto Luongo yesterday afternoon. But Luongo played well, and he stopped. I mean, he stopped Hajduk a couple times, and a couple Landeskog saves that he has. I think Landeskog had like 8 or 9 shots on goal yesterday afternoon. But the Avalanche aren't playing well enough to win, to where a mistake or a penalty or a bad bounce absolutely kills them. And yesterday is a perfect example when that bad hop out against the boards goes right onto BX's stick and he scores. If you're going to let one play make or break you, or one bounce make or break you, you don't deserve to win the game. And if you don't deserve to win enough games, you don't deserve to get into the playoffs. And within the next 10, 15 games, we're going to find out a lot about whether the Avalanche want to sell a bunch of stuff, whether they're going to trade for a few people. And we're going to find out what this organization's about, because they have some decisions in the offseason with these young guys to go from rebuilding to building a core to really trying to hopefully make a move in the next couple seasons to really be a powerhouse. And we'll see what they want to do with that.
Mm-hmm. Well, last night, as we record this, the Vancouver Canucks, they're second in the conference. They have a goal differential of plus 37. They work hard to win hockey games. They're a very, very good hockey team, and nobody wants to, obviously as fans don't want to see the team lose to Vancouver any more than they want to see them lose to Detroit. But they were basically just out something. I mean, maybe just that whole will versus skill, and Vancouver seemed to have both at the time. The way that it happened is painful to watch. But then the Avs can't score against Minnesota. That's the part that doesn't make sense to me at that point. And that's when I start worrying more, that all of that optimism that as fans had at the very beginning of the season when they could win like mad on the road. And then, previous to the last show when they were on such a hot streak and now it's gone, when are they going to take command of that again? And that's when my pessimism starts to creep.
It's discouraging when they play as well as they did yesterday and then come out with a point to show for it. And when they should have had two. But after 4 straight one-goal losses leading into that 5th straight yesterday, it kind of just leaves you shaking your head. It's frustrating, but the writing's on the wall. You can see it, and unless they get really streaky, I mean, they can only play so well for so long. That's with every team. And I don't know. I think it's time to start thinking about the offseason, start to think about the trade deadline, and start thinking about years ahead and see if they can keep this core of Ryan O'Reilly, Matt Duchene, Gabriel Landeskog, keep those guys together and keep building around them and add some size up front, a little bit more size, some more scoring up front, and go from there. But it's not over yet.
I mean, they're still only 3 points away from a playoff slot. Anything can happen. It's not over. And I think that you're right. The word that I'm thinking of isn't necessarily pessimism, but discouraging. And I think that you nailed it there.
They're 3 points out, but they've played the most games in the NHL as well. So all the teams ahead of them, it comes down to, and they've been talking about it a lot on Altitude, is there's five teams for one playoff spot. And, you know, the Avalanche have proven, I don't know if they're quite, at least right now, I don't know if they're quite worthy of that playoff spot, but we will see. They play the Canucks three more times in the rest of their, I think they have 29 games left or something like that. And a lot, and if you're gonna play 2-12-1 hockey this far into the season within the teams in your division, I don't know if you deserve to go to the playoffs. So I'm not exactly
the Central Division. The Central Division has four slots of the Western Conference, you know, of the Western Conference playoffs right now, and one of them is not Columbus. But I mean, there's four really good teams. It's Detroit is in first place, and then 4, 5, 6 is Nashville, St. Louis, Chicago. I mean, that's a really strong division, and they're beating other teams that are not in their division as well. So
absolutely, so they beat each other up, but they also go outside the division, and that shows how strong that division is. The Avalanche's division, you know, between Minnesota, who has been struggling as much as any team in the NHL, and they lose twice to them in 9 days. And then you've got Edmonton, who has more injuries than anybody, and the Avalanche can't even beat those teams, and that is discouraging. But I haven't quite given up hope. Depends on how long after losses that you talk to me, though. So we'll see. So, all right, shout outs on Twitter. I want to give a shout out to Scott Yates. He goes to Chaffee Community College in Southern California. Big win for him. He used Gagliardi's in a tweet. How cool is that, Tape Blake? He said, I just finished watching the team and I'm glad Peter Mueller's back. But I want to see them win on Saturday so I can put all my Kings friends Gagliardi's in a vice, with the Avalanche, going up 3-0 against the Kings in the series. So very cool for him. So Scott, thank you for being a fan, and thank you for using our terms in your tweets. Something that definitely, something we noticed. So thanks, man. sorry, I'm coughing all the way through this, but the show must go on. Feedback left on iTunes. Iron Fist on January 27th. Rook 1271 on January 12th. Thank you, Brian. And Real Denver Sports, January 11th. J. Scott Moore from the Real Denver Sports blog, realdenversports.blogspot.com. Just wanted to thank you three for your feedback on iTunes. It makes people... it helps people find our podcast. And for those of you that have left ratings as well, I believe we have 17 ratings. For those of you that have done that, thank you very much. It makes it easier for other Avalanche fans to find our podcast on iTunes. So thank you very much for that, you guys. For those of you that would like to leave feedback, find us on iTunes, leave some feedback, and we'll give you a shout out in the next show or upcoming shows. So James,
My shout out is to anybody who uses a curse word on Twitter.
Oh yeah,
you know,
it's picking up.
It's always that fine line of, you know, how much do we do, how much do other people do. It's so, you know, I think it's just a fun thing, and it's not like it's a gigantic, you know, we're involved in the team or we're involved. It's a fun thing, and it always cracks me up and amazes me whenever I see somebody put curse word in, even though it's always because of a bad thing happening.
No, I think what we try and do, and those of you that have followed us for long enough, I mean, we've been doing this show together for over two seasons, and I've been doing the show, you know, before that for another two seasons before that, and you have to find ways to get through the crappy games. So between curse word and between McNabb's, that's what she says. I mean, I think we're all set, so it's all about the entertainment. But yeah, definitely thanks to everybody out there who makes it fun for us to do what we do. You know, without you guys and without seeing curse word in our Twitter feeds, wouldn't mean near as much. So, James, it's still your turn to do the sign-off stuff, right? It's not my turn yet.
I thought you
were
doing it this time. All right.
I don't think we really agreed on it. I mean, I can do it if you'd like to, but...
No.
I really like the way you do it. That's what she said. So, I'll do it next time. How's that? Is that agreed?
I don't buy it, but all right.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, James Tape Blake Grailian with the extra details for you. Listen up.
You can always find the Avs Hockey Podcast, and I always start out the same way. You can always find the Avs Hockey
too.
Podcast at www.avshockeypodcast.com. There's links to our iTunes feed where you can leave us feedback. You can leave comments about any individual show there. You can also see some of Jay's lovely jerseys that he loves to put up. There's also a link to some shirts and gear that we made, curse word shirts. There's no Avs logos on it, of course, because, hey, that's copywritten and all that. But if you want to pick up a shirt like Chris Huffing, Huffy719 on Twitter, or Brian Rook, Rookstall did, the Rook33, I believe it is, you can do so and just look really cool, you know, like Jay does, or like
and
I
feel
do.
Cool too.
Exactly. you can find Jay on Twitter at Avs Hockey Podcast. It's AVSHKY Podcast. And I'm on Twitter at Tape Leg, TAPELEG. I've also started a new kind of weird little one man, very short snippet podcast thing on Twitter called Tape Leg's Take. It's just about 3 minutes on one topic, just me. If you want to check it out, make sure that you're subscribed or you're following on Twitter. And it's sometimes about the Avs and sometimes it's not. And it's just kind of fun. Also on the site, also on the AvsHockeyPodcast.com, you can find a link to the Facebook fan page. Jay posts there all the time, almost every day, something, even just little conversations or links to really nasty jerseys that you need to stay away from on eBay, or and tries to keep you updated on who's in, who's out with the Avs on a particular game day. So there you go.
That'll do it. I don't know if you saw the picture, James, but I took my daughter to the game yesterday with me and my dad. Really cool. Mm-hmm. So I posted a picture of that on the Avs Hockey Podcast page.
Did she have a good time?
She did have a good time. We stayed for a couple of periods. We didn't want to, you know, like get greedy or anything, but yeah, the people next to us didn't show up. So she had a little space to, you know, wiggle and move and stuff. But yeah, she really did have a good time. She was clapping. Just kind of soaking it all in. She'll be 3 next month. So I can't, like, you know, not that I'd want to like give her hockey school every time we go, but she did have fun. It was really cool. And to have like 3 generations of Avalanche fans sitting in the 3 seats, it was a pretty cool moment. So I have a picture of that on the Avs Hockey Podcast Facebook page. So please go check that out if you want to check it out. So James, thanks for your time as always. For those of you that are new to the show or whatever, James is in Minneapolis right now. I'm in Denver. I know it sounds like we're sitting in the same room next to each other, but we're definitely not. So James, thanks for getting up.
Next one, hopefully we will be.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's some potential to have some hopefully long-term face-to-face shows, and we always like the way that sounds. So James, have a great day. Go get yourself some expensive coffee.
I will.
All right. For everybody else, thank you very much for joining us. We always appreciate the support and the listens, and we'll see where the Avalanche go from here. Either way, we'll come back at you soon. So until then, take care. Let's go Avs. And James and I will see you next time on the Avs Hockey Podcast. See ya.